something my wife shared. You know, Josh's grandmother, she's in a wheelchair. She wants to be in church every Sunday, two blocks away, but she needs someone to kind of push her wheelchair. It'll take 5 minutes to get to her house, walking, and 5 minutes back. If we can have one or two guys who would commit to rotating during the month, or even strong gals, if we don't have enough guys, just to bring her here and help her home at 11 o'clock, and then again after service, it would be such a blessing for their family. Her heart's with us, but she physically struggles to get in here. And yes, if you are interested in being baptized, please see me. This year is a little different. Normally, we baptize at 6 and do worship at 7. We will be doing worship on the pavilion at 3 and then baptizing at 5. So it's flip-flopped and a little earlier this year. So keep that in mind. But right now, first of all, happy Father's Day to all you wonderful dads. We are blessed to have you a part of our fellowship. But right now, let's give glory to the one who's the perfect dad, who gave us his perfect word. Let's give glory to God. Would you raise your Bibles with me if you have them? Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. With those same Bibles, if you would turn with me to Proverbs 13:22 is where we're starting. Today we are finishing up the series, and it's a perfect day to finish up the series, From Heritage to Legacy. We talked about means to establish a heritage, a godly heritage, then to pass it on in form of an inheritance. And today we're going to talk about the legacy we leave behind. The legacy. What is legacy? Legacy is what we leave for the next generation. It's how we are remembered for what we left for the next generation. When I think of someone who has passed, what identifies that person in my life to me? That's the legacy they leave behind. What we remember them doing. And I have to confess to you, one of the things that happened in my life growing up is, and started about 15 years ago, I always started to think about, what do I want written on my gravestone when I pass? Seriously, how do I want to be remembered? And back then, it was, I would always think, I don't even want my name on my gravestone. Just the words, a faithful man of God, or he was a faithful servant of God. You know, and unfortunately, that can become your God if that's what you're striving for. See, my job wasn't to leave a legacy behind. My job was to love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul, and let Him worry about what's left behind. My job was to do what I have been born to do. Jeremiah talks about, before I was even born in my mom's womb, you knew me, and you've already set me up for my future. You've already put in me everything I need, from the way I think, to the way I'm prone to feel, to the way my personality is, to what my gifts and talents and nuances are. All those things were already implanted by God within the womb so that I can fulfill my calling and destiny as one who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, and soul and strength. Committed to God first. Everything else then is left behind. And you know what's cool is when we started this series, the very first day of the series, after service, Jim pulled me aside. Lord spoke to him to give me a word of confirmation. And that word was, don't worry about your legacy. God takes care of you, will take care of your legacy. Those were the words Jim shared with me that God put on his heart. And he did not know that this had been an issue in my life, but I've been able to overcome it to focus on him, not anything else. But again, the focus is on him. So we established, we talked about establishing heritage, acquiring an inheritance. And now, what are we leaving behind in the name of the Lord? Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So what is this inheritance in the form of legacy that we leave behind? We've talked about it's not monetarily. It's letting your inheritance be more than a temporary thing. It's letting that inheritance leave a lasting impression, an impact in the lives of your people, those who in your life. What is left behind, this is important, becomes inspirational, inspires you. That's the legacy. See, we don't connect to intellectual things. That's not how we remember things. If I am going to remember something 20 years from now, there's an emotional connection or attachment to the event that I will remember. That's how our minds are wired to work. My wife can tell me something now, and I can forget it in 10 seconds. But if I attach an emotional connection, like she'll kill me if I don't remember this, I'll remember it. Okay? This is how our minds are wired to work. So what the legacy that we leave behind is one that inspires us on an emotional and spiritual and every level possible, not just a mental thing. The legacy also is what we're passionate about. Think about that. Where, for it to be something inspirational that's going to leave a lasting emotional type impression on you, it has to be passionate. You have to be passionate about it. Can your children today say, my dad or mom are passionate about this, and 20, 30, 40 years from now say, man, I remember how much my mom and dad, this meant to them because they were passionate about this. Now you take that same thing. I mean, I've heard stories, especially in doing funerals. Oh, he loved to laugh. I've heard he loved to go to the racetrack. He was passionate about the racetrack. I've heard everything up and down when you talk to the family of the one that's passed on about them, especially if I didn't know them. And even if I did know them, what I would reflect back in the message during the funeral is what impression they've made on me. What they left behind that I have taken and made a part of me as part of my memories of them. That's going to be long-lasting. It's their passions. And one thing we've learned, your opinions, your attitudes, your words do not translate to others. Your passions are what translates. Your passion is what is left behind that sticks. Because I can stand up here and say, I love Jesus. Emotionless, passionless, read it, write, literally just read my notes word for word. That's not going to hit home with anyone here. But if I'm here saying, I love the Lord, this is why I love him, this is what he's done in my life, this is how he's changed my life, this is why he means more to me than anything else in this world, and this is why my wife loves him and loves him more than anything else in this world, you're going to remember that. That's going to make an impact because it's our passion. It's our heart for the Lord. See, one of the things, if you would put that box up in the next slide. Is that box there? No, all right, he didn't transfer that box. Okay, there's four things that we have to keep in mind. There's four different you, and there's four different me, believe it or not. The first me is how I see myself. Because I can look at myself and I can say, I'm this, 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 and that. The second me is how I think others see me. How I think others look at me. Well, so-and-so thinks I'm cool, or so-and-so thinks I'm smart, or so-and-so thinks I'm a funny person. The thing with that, when I start thinking this is how I think they see me, I start to put on facades to play up to what I want people to think me at and see me as. The third me is how people really do see me. So the first is how I see myself. Second is how I think others see me. Third is how others actually do see me. But this is the important one. Fourth one is who I really am. It's the truth of who I am. It's how God sees me. How God created me to be. And He sees, and when He looks at me, He doesn't see me right now at 12:05 on June 21st, 2015. He sees my full potential, where I can get, who I can be, what I have been designed by the hand of the Creator, the Master Painter, to be. That's who He sees me. So fathers, how does this translate? How does this translate to us? Think about how God sees you. Since this is Father's Day, and mothers had their day today, I'm going to talk to the fathers, but you're all included. How does God see you and get back to your purpose with God? See, we've been talking about throughout this breaking new ground. Breaking new ground. Sometimes it means destroying the old to start something new. Maybe God needs to remove something out of your life. Maybe we need to make the choice to allow God to remove things out of our life so that we can start breaking new ground to establish that new heritage, that new foundation, that we will be able to leave a godly inheritance in the legacy we leave behind in the hearts of those that are left, the impact we make. So our passions are what's translating. So how can your passion for God translate? Maybe the question should be, is our passion for God translating? Do we even have a passion for God? Is God first? And guess what? If He hasn't been, today's the day you can pick up the shovel and start over. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we can declare, "You are my Lord. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, by His love for me. And Holy Spirit, I'm opening up my heart to You. Come fill me up." Today is the day you can break this new ground. And if that's you today, you know what? I'm just going to stop for a second. Close your eyes, bow your heads with me. Lord, I want You to speak to every heart here. And if there's anyone here, Lord, that You are speaking into, Holy Spirit, that You are convicting, You are leading to open up their heart to You, Jesus, for the first time as their Savior. Lord, just make it clear to them right now. And if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, just want you to simply say this prayer. Father, I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. I believe with all my heart that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for me. And I confess that Jesus is the Savior and Lord of my life. I ask that You, Holy Spirit, come and fill me and change my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I want you to see me later on in the service or see one of our prayer partners. And we just want to pray with you some more, and we'll give you that opportunity later on. Now, how do we reveal that passion for God in our lives? How do we take that new ground that we're just digging? Well, we're going to do the three R's: reveal, remind, and reflect. We reveal it to them. We reveal that passion for God to those around us. Psalm 78:4 says this: "We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. Share your testimony. Never be afraid to share what God is doing in your life to your kids, to your wife, to your family. Honey, look what God did for me today. Son, we prayed for this. Daughter, we lifted this. We placed this at the altar of God. And look how God answered this prayer. Better than any bedtime story is sitting with your child or sitting with your family and saying, you know, when I was 17 years old, this is a struggle that I had. And as I prayed, this is how God healed me through this. This is how God sought me through this. Your testimony. Tell what God has done. The believers of old, the Jewish people would sit. There was not paper originally, and would just rekindle and retell the stories of Moses, of Abraham and Isaac, of Jacob, to their children so it will never be forgotten. That's what they did. So tell them, reveal them to. Don't be ashamed of what God has done. Because guess what? It actually inspires you in the process too of the telling. 2 Timothy 2:2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Train them. Tell them what you know. One of our purposes is to equip the body. Within that vision is to impart what we have, what we know onto someone else so that they can impart it. We talk about disciples making disciples. That's what it's all about. It's take the little that God has given you and give it to somebody else. I knew 7-8 chords on the guitar, but I was willing to teach anyone to play those 7-8 chords. And I'll be honest with you and tell you, so many who I've shown those first 7 or 8 chords 10, 15, 20 years ago have already surpassed me in their skills. Thank God. But it began with those things. It began with those things. And that's what you can do. And later on, and after we're done, as we do every Father's Day and Mother's Day, we're going to give opportunities for you to share as a man, as a father, how God lifted you and helped you to be the dad that you are today, the man that you are today. And we will give you the opportunity to share how a godly man in your life affected you. Reveal to them. So you reveal, number one. Number two, remind them. Remind them. 2 Peter 1:12 to 15. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in them, truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of many body will be soon, of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time recall these things. We talk about breaking new ground. Re-breaking ground. It's okay to re-bring forth to remembrance. Sometimes we have to go back to square one. Sometimes it's great to go back to the beginning when I don't care how mature and how spirit-filled you might be in the Spirit of God. We are still in the flesh, and that flesh comes in sometimes. And sometimes when we're not able to pray in the Spirit and we're not able to stir ourselves up naturally, we might just need to go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go back to basics, giving God the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for the food that I had this morning for breakfast. Thank you, God, that I have shoelaces to tie on my shoes this morning. Thank you that there's gas in my car. The basics. It's okay to go back and remind every now and then. We need to stir ourselves up that way. It's okay to go back and reread the Word of God. to rebuild our strength. You know, the Bible says meditate on the Word of God. That does not mean, we've said this many times, sit and just read a verse and then close your eyes and think about it. Biblical meditation is you're taking the Word of God and you're reciting it, you're repeating it, you're declaring it in faith. That's what the Jewish people do on the Wailing Wall when they're rocking back and forth. They're meditating on the Word of God. That's what we need to do. That's the way we remind ourselves, stir ourselves up in the truths of the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 says this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Teach them diligently, purposefully, with intent, with continuation. You're diligent about it. You're making sure it's getting done with purpose. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You're talking about God. You're talking about who God is, what God is doing in our lives. You're reminding them of who God is. Every now and then, I'll be the first to say, I need to be reminded that God is God and I'm not. Every now and then, I need to be reminded that it's not me who can do all things through me who strengthens me, but that I can do all things through God who gives me strength. Okay? Every now and then, I need to remember that when I'm looking at something and I'm going, I feel so stupid right now, this makes no sense to me, that I need to go, oh yeah, God, you're the one that's wise. So Lord, before I even read this again, give me your wisdom and your brain to understand this. And you'd be surprised. When we place it at the altar of God, what happens? What happens? Remind them. Talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. In other words, if you didn't get it, don't stop. Don't stop talking and letting the heart of your fellowship, to use that word, which, by the way, biblical fellowship is fellowship in the Holy Spirit, not just hanging out. Holy Spirit driven, Holy Spirit led, Holy Spirit dictated and filled and overflowing. That's fellowship. So when you come together, let everything you do honor God. That's what this is saying. From the moment your eyes wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for the day and waking me up another day. It's giving God the glory and reminding from the simplest, the youngest, to the oldest, who God is in your life and in your life of your family. That's why when Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. He's not saying we're going to have only prayer services and song services from 7 to 8 at night. He says our house is committed, is dedicated, is consecrated for the sole purpose of honoring God in our lives. Nothing else will do. And see, when we do that, heaven opens up. Heaven opens up. And the blessings of God overflow. And I don't mean money necessarily. And I'm not talking about physical gifts. I'm talking about the overflow of heaven where the Spirit of God gives us everything we need to deal with everything in everyday life. Those blessings do come. And God is a Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He meets every one of our needs. So those things do come, says the word given this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Dedicate it. Remind your family. Remind the person next to you to sit and reflect and be reminded of who God is in our lives. And the last thing first is reveal, remind, now reflect. reflect them to them. Matthew 6:20-21 says this, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is where your heart will be." This is showing them, you're reflecting them what you have revealed and what you are reminding of them in your lifestyle. This is the hard part, is reflecting to everyone around us all the things of God. It's called being real. And guess what? It's also okay to be real and not be perfect, because we are human and we make mistakes. But also our reality in the treasures that we have in heaven is the grace of God. Then when we confess our sins and our mistakes and our shortcomings, they're done in the name of Jesus. And when we ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, He brings a revelation of how to not do those things or how to come against those things in the future. Last week, when I shared with you the message, I was compelled to pray Monday morning when my wife and I were praying, "Lord, help me not to be hypocritical in the message that I shared." That the things that I was passionate about Sunday morning are going to be revealed in how I live my life every day. I don't want to be one way with you here. I don't want to be like I am now, passionate about the things of God and what I'm sharing with you, and then go home and be a hypocrite and neglect these things. Am I going to make mistakes, and have I made mistakes? Yes. But I thank God for His grace and for His revelation, whether it's from His Spirit, from my wife who seeks His face every day, or from others, or in His Word directly. With the treasures I lay is that passion to seek God with all my heart. And if I do that, He will offer these things to me. He will give these things to me. And He will take care of them. See, what God puts within me, no one can take away. Not even the devil. But I can give it up. I can give it away. I can neglect it if I choose. See, that's why the Bible says Satan, the devil, comes to rob, steal, to try to take those things that are already meant for me and for you. Those treasures God has given, God is not an Indian giver. He does not take back what He gives. It's there. But will I use it? And will I not allow it to be taken from me? Will not be allowed to be taken from me. Every one of us has been given something today. You were given it at birth. That new ground that needs to be dug, maybe it's digging to get back to what God has given you, to be reminded of what God has already placed within you, as I need to be reminded from time to time. It's those things that God has given us. It's a reflection of honesty. I remember one told you earlier, the legacy that we leave behind is there's an emotional connection. One of the most vivid emotional connections that I will forever remember of my dad is when he lost his job. And I remember him sitting in the living room in our old house in Fairhaven, crying. But those weren't tears of hopelessness. He was hurting, and he was honest with his pain with God and his reality with God. And when my mom passed away, that same pain, my dad's a man of God. He's my hero on this earth, next to Jesus. And he cried the same way with my mom when she passed. But I specifically remember being a sophomore in high school and him crying that then. But then within those tears, his faith resonated. That, "Lord, You've got something better. This didn't slip by You, God. You still have the whole world in Your hands, and You have me right here too." You got me covered, God. And that's a legacy my dad leaves for me. That's ingrained in me because I saw that. I saw what he revealed. He revealed his humanity and his imperfection, but he also revealed his heart for God. He also revealed that he sought the Lord with all his heart, mind, and soul, and all his strength. That God was the most important thing in his life. And guess what? He stored up those treasures in heaven, and God multiplied them in his life. And I praise the Lord for that. We need to be real in who we are as Christians, and who we are as men of God, and for you women, as people and women of God as well. Reveal the heart of God in you. Don't be ashamed of it. And maybe you need to redig it out, break that new ground to restart it, and it's okay. And why we need to do that? So that our children can say what Psalm 16:6 says, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have good inheritance." See, this comes from when Joshua led the children of Israel into the land of milk and honey, into the land of Canaan after 40 years. And then he said, "This tribe, you take this land. This tribe, you take this land. That tribe, you take that land." And they can say, "We're here. We made it. Look what was left for us. Look at the inheritance that God gave us. Look what was established for our children and their children's children. God carved it out for us." And it was revealed by their faith of taking the ground. Because if you remember, in the book of Exodus, they had to take every ground, every city, when they entered the land of Canaan in the name of the Lord. And they took it by force as God led them. So they revealed God to their children and their children's children. And then their children now can say, "The lines have fallen to me in very pleasant places. This is my inheritance. This is the legacy my father, my mother, my grandfather, my grandmother have left for us. A legacy of faith, a legacy of hope, a legacy to build on." In Jesus' name. In a moment, or in a little bit, we're going to do something to close out the service. But before we do that, I feel like this is the time we need to allow for our men to share what God has shown them, what God has taught them as men of God, the lessons that they have learned in being a husband, a father, just simply a man of God. And for you to, as well as you feel led, to share how a man of God in your life, whether it was your actual father or someone else, because I'll be honest with you, I did a little survey. I didn't get enough responses back on the survey with some men. I posted on Facebook and gave it to people. I didn't get enough responses to talk about it too much, but what did surprise me is how many men were influenced by men who were not their fathers. So guys, look at the young men and women in this church, the children, who you can influence today, this generation. You can be a spiritual dad to them. So right now I want to open it up to anyone who would like to share. Just come on forward and share, and then when we're all done, I'm going to ask us to close in a special way.
This is going to be a very tough thing to do, and I hope I don't take up too much of your time. I was brought up in a house full of women and without a father in my life. And every day I got home from school, I would jump on my bicycle and I would ride about 3 to 4 miles to my grandfather's farm. And I would jump on a hay wagon and bale hay. And my grandfather and my uncle taught me everything that I know today to help me with my trade and mental lessons. And as I went through in my life in the walk in the Lord, I kept telling myself every day, I said, you know what? When I grow up, and if I am blessed with a child, I will teach him everything that I know, because I know what it feels like to be without a father. And I would not be the way that my father was and just walk away. And I would be there with him for every day he has. Thank you.
I just want to give God the glory today because he was the one that was there for me when my father wasn't, and his love prevailed, and I knew how a father's love was supposed to be when I felt his love. So I just thank God for the second chance he gave me in my life to be the father I am today, to be able to love my children the way he taught me. So I just give God the glory for that. My dad left to be with the Lord, I pray, a few years ago. And just like with my mom, they always felt that they didn't do enough or loved us enough. And it didn't have to be some major outpouring of love, but I felt loved by them. And I always told them that, but I just prayed that God would reveal that to them so that they understood that. So I know in my heart that they loved me. And I just pray that my children understand that also, and they can, as I leave that legacy, they can do the same for their children. Thank you.
Hi. My dad left when I was 5. My mom and dad were divorced. But I grew up with my grandmother and grandfather and my mother. And my grandfather always taught me, it's not about Father's Day, it's about being a dad or a grandfather or a man every day, to respect women and to respect yourself and do the right thing and be a good person in life and teach other people how to be good people by being a good man. And he always went to church on Sunday, told me to go to church on Sunday, respect God, and just to do the right thing in life every day, and to be respectful of others and caring of others, not just myself.
Hello, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the wonderful fathers out here and to all the fathers that are not with us. What makes a dad? God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of the summer sun, the calm of the quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arms of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of an eagle's flight, the joy of the morning in the spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of the family need, Then God combined these qualities when there was nothing more to add, and he knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. So happy Father's Day to all the wonderful fathers. God bless. And to my dad, who's in the back, welcome, Dad. We love you.
I was waiting for another woman to come up. Sorry. I'm very sad to hear that so many fathers had left, and God just wanted me to remind everybody that the fathers of their generations were involved with war. They were involved with combat. I know that Tom's dad probably suffers from post-traumatic, you know, stress from, you know, things that he saw as a Marine. But they still loved their children, and I think some of them made the decision that they couldn't do the right thing, and they didn't know how to do the right thing in their wrong circumstances, and they didn't want to hurt their children. So they did step out, and I know that, you know, you guys know that I'm adopted, so sometimes fathers step out because they think it's their best thing for their children. And for the mistakes they've made, I know that the sons have learned from them. Tommy is the most caring father I could have asked for. He's so gentle, and it's part of his demeanor anyway, but he said, you know, I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to make my daughter feel like maybe I have been made to feel like. So the dads that left, please remember, sometimes they might have left to protect you from their horrors that they didn't want to share with you. So I want to bless all the dads, and wherever they may be, my paternal father, and God bless all of you, and thank God that we're in a generation that our fathers are able to learn about the Lord, and most of the fathers of this generation have not seen combat, and I'm so grateful for that. So thank you, and happy Dad Dad Day.
Happy Father's Day. For anyone here who's praying for a dad that they haven't seen in many years, I hadn't seen my natural dad in 26 years because I was raised by my maternal grandparents. So my grandfather was my father. He raised me, sat with me after school to do homework, taught me music, sent me to piano lessons. My brother is a bass player today because my grandfather was a bass player. But my mom and dad had divorced when I was a baby, so I wasn't raised with my natural parents. And my brother and I would talk, you know, wouldn't it be nice if mom and dad got together again? And for many years, we always said those things until finally we were teenagers and we stopped talking about it because we knew it wasn't going to happen. Our natural dad had remarried and our natural mother had remarried. When I became saved at the age of 32, that was 26 years ago, I just gave you my age, I started asking the Lord, Lord, I want a relationship with my real dad. I miss my real dad. I haven't seen him since I'm 15. And I kept praying. When you pray for rain, get the umbrella ready. Amen. And years went by. I was 32 when I got saved. And when I was 41, getting ready to have my first grandchild, I got on the phone with my dad in Puerto Rico. I hadn't seen him since I was 15, and now I was 41. So I believe that's 26 years that had gone by that I had not seen his face. And my husband and I were getting ready to take a cruise, but that ship was going to be leaving out of San Juan. So we flew from Newark Airport to San Juan, where my father lived very close by, and my father and I talked. We set the date where we were going to meet at the dock where that Carnival Cruise Line was going to dock itself, and I was going to see him for the first time in 26 years. That was God. And when the plane landed and Jerry and I put our luggage in the cabin of the ship, we went downstairs. I was walking so fast, Jerry couldn't keep up with me because I could see my father's face in my mind, but I didn't know what he looked like 26 years later. But I knew that I would know this is my father because I looked just like him. So I walked to where there's a door that revolves, and there he is. He's standing there, and I'm, Jerry, hurry up. I see him. Oh, my God. And I come out of that turning door, and I just threw myself on him. I landed right here. And I wept. His wife was standing next to him. She's weeping. My father was very still, no emotion. All he said was, wow, you're very sensitive. So I look at him, and then and that was it. I just wept and wept and wept. But I felt such a peace and the love of God just flowing through me. God is a restorer of relationships. The devil never restored anything in his life. So this was an answer to prayer that I finally got to see my daddy. And we went and had a wonderful lunch at his house with his wife. She cooked a beautiful meal. And then we said goodbye, and Jerry and I went off on our cruise. 7 days later, we came back. There he was in San Juan waiting for us again. He took us out for a beautiful breakfast. And it was just wonderful to see his face, to look in his eyes. 18 months later, he became terminally ill, and I got a phone call from his wife that he was dying. Took the next plane to Puerto Rico. My father had never been in a church in his whole life, but I was a woman on a mission. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going, and I'm not coming back till my father prays that sinner's prayer. I went to the ICU in Guaynabo, Puerto Rico, where he was. And he had pancreatitis and complications of diabetes. And my brother flew in from Los Angeles, and we were there. And the Holy Spirit is wonderful because he just orchestrates things. For some reason, my brother left the room, my stepmother left the room, and it's just me and my dad. And I felt the Holy Spirit's presence above that ICU bed. And in Spanish, yo le hablé a mi papá y le dije de Cristo Jesús. Hallelujah. I told him about the God that I serve, the Jesus that I love, and that I'm not leaving Puerto Rico until he prays and asks Jesus to come into his heart. And on that deathbed, in that ICU, my father repeated the sinner's prayer in Spanish and became born again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God always has a purpose and a plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. And I left Puerto Rico knowing that my father had been saved, and 12 days later, he went home to be with Jesus.
Praise God. Do one more.
Hi. I was thinking about what to say, and my dad was like, how they were talking about inheritance. And so I'm just going to say some stuff that my dad's taught me over my 10 years of being in life. ever since I was little, my dad's been teaching me how to cook. And now, and the other day, he was like, you're one of the best girl cooks in the Borelli family. And that's important to me because I'm Italian. So cooking has always been in my blood. And when I was one, I remember my dad, he always been a drummer, and he had like the small drums, and I had my toy drums when I was little. And I remember my dad handing me his drumsticks and my mom freaking out, be like, she's going to poke her eye out. I didn't go to school for drumming, but it's still something I just like to do for fun. Like, I don't really know anything. I just can keep a beat, I guess. I know my dad doesn't really like speaking in front of people, so I'm going to say something for him. Because he's kind of shy. My dad likes to tell me stories about him when he was younger and how he used to play with his brother and his sister and with his friends and like what they would do and stuff. So I know a lot about his childhood life because he always thought it was important to teach me about that. So he would always tell me about how his family didn't have a lot of money and how his dad and his mom were divorced when he was a child, so he didn't live with his dad. So growing up was kind of hard for him, but I don't remember if it was when he was a teenager or an adult when he found God. I'm not really sure. But I'm just happy that it came in his life because he had a hard childhood and everything. So I'm just happy to be following into his footsteps with a happy life and a loving family, but having his traits and everything. So I love you, Daddy.
Amen. Amen. Is this some? Huh? Great legacy. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something as we close. But if you did pray that prayer earlier, please make sure you just see me before you leave. Let me know, hey, Mike, I prayed that prayer. And I just want to pray with you in private at that point. But right now, I want to ask if the men in the balcony would come down. That's you too, Willie. Who also happened to get baptized last year too is Willie. And as they come down, I want to ask, I know this is unusual, but I want to ask if all the men and young men would come forward. Just all come. Just come on down. Get up off your seats. Anyone with male, just come on down. If you guys would all just line up by the altar. Come on up, buddy.
Look at all these men.
What we want to have done as we close, I'd like you all to just turn around and kind of face the altar. All the men, turn around and face the altar. So we're not here to embarrass you. And I want to ask if the women and the young ladies would just kind of go behind your man or a person that you feel led to pray over, and I want you to bless them. To be the man and the future man and young man of God that they are being called to be and designed to be. And take a few moments to do that, then I'll bless you all and we'll be dismissed in Jesus' name. So if all the women would just go and bless every man. Just get behind somebody and just bless them, praising the Lord for them, praying over them. Anyway. Moments and bless them, and then I will bless us all and dismiss us all.